Hello and welcome back to Instant Mom, navigating solo foster and adoptive motherhood while attempting a go at sanity. So today I wanted to talk about the story of Olivia, our newest addition, and my daughter, which is just crazy to think about. It's been 2 weeks today since she first came into our life, and I still cannot believe that I have a daughter and that she is going to stay with us forever. But that's skipping ahead a little bit, so I'll kind of go back to the beginning of how this all started. So we have been on the call list for a while now for foster care, and we weren't getting a lot of calls, which is good. That means there aren't children who need homes at the moment, which is always great. And so we also host with an organization called Safe Families. I won't get into too much about them here. You can find that on several previous episodes as well. But they are a national organization with lots of local chapters around the country, and they exist to act as an extended family and a support system for parents in need. So rather than getting to the point to where their children might have to enter foster care, parents can raise their hand and say, I need help, I'm overwhelmed, and their children can be hosted with pre-screened, pre-approved families like ours. And we've hosted several children over the past year and a half. In fact, Mikkel, our teen, came to us through Safe Families. So we're very familiar with the organization. And the whole point is that the children are with you for a very short amount of time while their parents do what they need to do to, take care of themselves or get into a better position to take their children back. And then they're reunited. And parents, don't lose custody. This is totally voluntary from the parents. They can end it at any time. So it's not at all like foster care. And because of that, Safe Families is not intended to ever really do any kind of adoption or for it to get to that point. They are not an adoption agency. This is just a very temporary way to help families in a crisis. So 2 weeks ago today, I got a call from one of the placement coordinators at Safe Families. And she said that there was a young mom who had a almost 3-month-old baby girl, and she just needed someone to host the baby for 3 days, so for the weekend, while mom was able to take a break. And I said, sure, as long as it's, 3 days, we're not really looking for anything long-term right now because we're still on the DCS call list. But yeah, we're happy to do 3 days. And so later that afternoon, I drove to a mutual pickup spot and I got to meet mom and baby. And immediately sort of felt this very weird connection with them. Usually with any placement, even if it's just a very temporary placement, like with Safe Families, there's a lot of anxiety and stress that comes with it, at least for me, because it's always a disruption to the routine. You're learning about a new little one and you're trying to figure out that schedule, and I'm trying to balance Jack's needs, and it's always a little chaotic. And there's always a little bit of like this panic and anxiety and stress when we do it. I mean, not so much that I don't like doing it, because clearly I love doing this and I think I do a good job of it, but there's always this disruption and the stress. And with Olivia, I didn't feel that. I mean, it instantly felt very peaceful, very serene, felt very comfortable. It felt like she had sort of always been there. And it was so strange that I almost texted a couple of my friends on that Friday night when we first got her and said, it's so weird, but this feeling that I feel with her is the same feeling I felt when Jack was placed with us. And Jack was placed with us around the same age as Olivia. He was about, he was 4 months old. Olivia is 3 months. But it was the same thing with him. I had no idea that his case was going to eventually move to adoption. His plan was still very much reunification. But I felt this connection and this peace with him that was different. I've loved all of my other placements, and I've obviously connected with them. But it's always just been a little bit more chaotic, a little bit more stressful, especially at the beginning as you settle into a routine. And with Jack, there was just this initial peace that came with it. And so I almost texted a friend and my mom and said, it's so weird, but I have the same feeling with this baby. And her birth name was different than Olivia. Olivia is the name that we're giving her. at the adoption, and I'll get into that more in a second as well. So, but I thought, I'm not going to text my friends that because that's really weird. Like, you know, this baby is only here for 3 days. This is not a DCS case where there's even a possibility that the plan might be moved to adoption. Like, if I text my friends that I feel this deep, peaceful connection with this baby that I just met, whom I'm only babysitting for 3 days, they're going to think I'm a crazy person. So I decided not to say anything. And as the weekend went on, I just still felt that same peace. Like, I'd always known her, like she'd always been part of our lives. It was just very easy. And at the same time, I was texting mom a lot. We were exchanging messages back and forth nearly constantly. Mom would ask me how the baby was doing, and I'd send photos. And the way that she responded to my messages and the kinds of questions that she would ask me were a little bit different than what I traditionally get from parents who are part of the Safe Families program. And I won't get into exactly what she said and how she reacted, because I think that's getting into her personal business a little too much, and that's not my story to tell. But there were just, and nothing was negative. It wasn't that she said or did anything negative at all, but the way that she would phrase things, the things that she would ask, the way that she would react to pictures, it just seemed a little bit different. And so that, combined with my feeling, this like gut feeling at the very beginning when I met her that something was different about this, come Saturday night, I started thinking, I don't know, is this going a different direction than I think it is? It was just, I had no reason to think that it was going to be anything other than this 3-day babysitting job, except for, oh, do you hear Olivia in the background? She's trying to poop, guys. Except that I just had this gut feeling that something was different here. And then on Sunday, like mid-Sunday morning, I get a message from mom, and she said, do you mind if I call you in a little bit? I want to talk to you about something. And my heart just stopped, and I thought, oh my gosh, I know what she's going to say. And this is what I have been feeling this whole entire time, that something was different. So I texted her back and I said, of course, please give me a call. And that's when our world was rocked. So she started out by saying, I'm sorry if this scares you, but, and then I knew 400% what she was going to ask next. And at this point in time, she knew that I had adopted Jack through foster care, but we had never talked about that we were hoping to adopt again in the future, or that we were interested in adopting again. You know, she just knew that we were a volunteer family with Safe Families. So when she called to sort of mention this to us, she really didn't know what we would say or how we would react. And you could tell in her voice, there was just so much fear and nervousness. And she basically said, you know, that she'd been thinking about this for a long time, and that while what she was about to ask would seem sudden to us, that it was something that she had been thinking about for many months, and that she was just waiting for, what she said, the right family to come around. And she asked if we would be interested in adopting baby girl. And even though I had felt this since the Friday evening that we met her, and even though somewhere in my gut I knew that this was different, I was still so shocked because, again, even though I had all of these gut feelings, this is not at all what Safe Families is for. This never happens. You know, this was just always supposed to be a 3-day babysitting job. So it was still a shock to actually hear mom say it. And I just started trembling and my voice was breaking and I just kept going, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I think that she at first thought that I was saying, oh my gosh, like, no, this is crazy. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And so I was like, you know, yeah, absolutely we will. But I was so shocked. I didn't even know what to say. And even though that mom had said that she'd been thinking about this for several months, and even though I'd had this gut feeling since we met her 2 days before, it was all very sudden to me. And I also was afraid that mom was making a decision based on just a rough week, right? Every parent has probably had those weeks, especially early on for your first child when you're just super overwhelmed. And I didn't want to to be excited to adopt a child that where the mother wasn't actually wanting to make an adoption plan. She was just having a rough week or a rough month or a rough season, right? So I also didn't want to get too excited personally, nor did I want to be so excited that it somehow pressured mom into keeping her decision if she later changed her mind. So it was a tricky conversation to navigate because on one hand, I was thrilled and was going to be very happy to say yes and to adopt baby girl. And was also amazed that somehow I knew this ever since Friday night, even though there was no way I should have had this feeling or this intuition. But I was also really wanting to guard my own heart because I knew this was very sudden and there were still a lot of things to happen before this would actually happen. And I wanted mom to know that she had options, that just because she was going through a rough time didn't mean that she had to choose adoption. And just because maybe we seemed like we had our act together more than she did, didn't necessarily mean that we would be better parents or a better family. So I had all these conflicting emotions and it just came out in the phone call as me going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So once I was able to stumble through all of the oh my goshes, oh my goshes, we sort of ended the conversation with I would contact my adoption attorney, the one that we had used for Jack's adoption, and I would ask her to reach out to birth mom and she could talk about next steps with her just so she knew what this process looked like. Because, you know, typically if a mother chooses adoption for her child, you know, she's involved with an agency, there might be some counseling involved, there's a lot of education on the process, she sees more than one family to decide where she wants to place her child. And so, you know, I really wanted to make sure we were doing this as ethically as possible. So the next day, my attorney reached out to her and sort of walked her through the options and talked about, you know, getting her own attorney and looking at some adoption counseling options, adoption agencies, making sure she understood the alternatives. Safe Families even, you know, talked to her a little bit more and made her aware of all the other alternatives that would be available to her if she needed a break, even if that break was a year, but wasn't ready to choose adoption or didn't ultimately want to choose adoption. And so I'm really glad that that happened because I did not want to end up adopting Olivia because mom was in a pinch and didn't realize all of her options or was just in that downtime. So I won't, again, this is where I want to respect her privacy, mom's privacy, but ultimately she decided that she wanted to choose adoption and she wanted to stick with her decision of asking us to adopt her baby girl. And by that Thursday, she had signed adoption consents, and the following week, we filed our petition to adopt. So it was just crazy fast. And mom and I talked, and she really wanted to have an open adoption, and you know, we told her all about our open adoption with Jack's mom, and in fact, I even, with Jack's mom's permission, passed along Jack's mom's phone number so that Olivia's mom could talk to Jack's mom and talk about, you know, what is it like having an open adoption and having an open adoption with Elizabeth in particular, because I wanted her to understand what that looked like, the good and the bad of it, and I guess it was kind of like almost giving a reference. Also understanding that we keep our word, that saying that we wanted to have an open adoption was not a tactic for us to get her to choose us. It really is something that I enjoy, I get satisfaction from, and more importantly, I believe it's what's best for the kids in this case. So we sort of worked out what that would look like, what that post-adoption agreement would be, and then it was all kind of done. And it was just so crazy because it happened so quickly. And even though I clearly had this feeling very early on when I should have had absolutely no reason to think this way, it was still such a shock and a surprise that it happened. The reality is people wait years to adopt privately. and spend tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, I've talked about this in previous podcast episodes, but the average private adoption is $35,000. It is not at all uncommon for them to get into the $40,000 and $50,000 range. And it can take years and years for people to be matched with an expectant mother and then to have the adoption actually happen. And people have failed adoptions. I hate the term failed adoption because it's actually a success for the expectant mother. But a failed adoption in the sense that they were matched, they thought they would be adopting a child, and then mom changed her mind and decided to parent. So the fact that this just literally fell into our lap when we weren't even looking for it, certainly not expecting it, it was just like, wow, like the universe had something in mind for all of us. And I've just really enjoyed my conversations with Birth Mom as well. She's a very creative person. She's a poet. She's new to Indianapolis, and she was asking me a lot of questions about like what's the literary scene like in Indianapolis, and so we were chatting about like the Writers Center and places where they have open poetry reading nights, and she also considers herself spiritual. And so she, before I said anything, even though this is how I felt, she articulated it first. And she said, you know, I feel like I was meant to meet you and you were meant to be her mom. And this was all meant to happen because, again, without sharing too much of her personal story, she had thought about this decision previously and wanted to make this decision and other decisions previously and never quite felt comfortable, or it didn't quite work out the way that she wanted it to. And then we all met and this happened, and it's crazy. So, and I still am in shock. It's been about 3 weeks now. I think Friday will be 3 weeks. I know I said it's been 2 weeks when I started this episode, but I recorded that a week ago. Clearly I have not had a lot of time to record this in one sitting, as you can probably tell by the different kinds of audio here. But it still feels surreal. Sometimes I look at her at night and I'm just like, you're my daughter. You're my daughter. You're my daughter. Because it's just so crazy to me that it happened. And I think the coolest thing about this, about all of this, is when I told Jack's mom that we would be adopting Olivia officially. And I was a little, I don't want to say I was worried to tell her because she and I have a great relationship, but I didn't know how she would take it because you know, obviously the way that Jack was adopted was very different. It was through foster care. It was not a choice that she herself made. And I didn't know if this would bring up trauma for her or if she would hold some animosity watching this adoption process again, thinking about when Jack was taken away from her when he was in foster care. So I was just nervous. And I didn't want her to think, oh, great, you're going to adopt another one. Like, will Jack get the same kind of care that he's been used to? And she was so amazing. She instantly said, I'm so excited to welcome them to our family. And I got chills and I choked up, which I'm doing now. Because, I mean, she didn't even think about it. She just said it. I'm so excited to welcome them to our family. And it's so cool that she thinks of me as family. I mean, obviously Jack is her son, so that makes sense that he's family, but you know, she doesn't think of me as just some random lady who adopted Jack. Like, we are family. We're an extended family. And the fact that she immediately was excited to meet Olivia's birth mom and Olivia, and that she was not only excited to meet them, but considers them to be now extended family. I mean, it's just, that is so amazing to me and such a freaking miracle, because not every open adoption is like this, particularly open adoptions from foster care in Jack's case. And Olivia's mom is super excited to meet Miranda, and it's just like the coolest thing. And I am so pumped for the first time when all of us can get together and take that big extended family photo. And it's just like the most modern, crazy, unconventional family, but we are all a family. And We are all tied to one another for the rest of our lives by the power of the love that we have for these kids. And it's just, you know, the person who wins the most in the end are Jack and Olivia, because they will always know where they came from. They will always know how loved they were, how wanted they were, and they will just have so many people around them that have so much love for them and would do anything for them. And that's just the biggest gift in all of this, and just really awesome. So we've already had our first post-placement visit with Birth Mom, which went really well. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was her name. So I haven't mentioned Olivia's birth name. She was given a different name at birth, and it's a beautiful name, but I kind of wanted to give her a name of my own and a name that had meaning to us. But I also know that that's a very touchy, sensitive subject in the adoption community, changing a baby's name, and also sensitive and touchy for the mother, because I didn't want her to feel like we were just erasing her past at all. And so the name Olivia just kind of came to me. It was something that I didn't go through a baby name book. I didn't really think about other names. It just like popped into my head, and that was it, Olivia. And then she'll have two middle names, Olivia Suzanne. My mom's name is Suzanne, and I wanted Olivia to have that connection to our family and honor my mom in that way. But I also wanted to keep her birth name as part of her name somehow, so that she always has that connection too. And I was really nervous to tell Birth Mom, because I didn't know how she would feel about it, and I wanted her blessing. And when I told her, she was so excited. She was like, oh my gosh, I love that name. That's so beautiful. And, you know, I told her that we wanted to keep her birth name as part of her two middle names. And she was like, that's amazing. You know, I'm so honored that you would do that. But she was also like, if you don't want to keep it, that's fine too. So I'm just really grateful that she not only gave us her blessing, but really loved the name. And so at our post-adoption or post-placement visit, she was calling Olivia by the name Olivia and didn't seem to think twice about it. And I, when we had that visit, I was really interested to see how mom was doing just sort of mentally and emotionally. And, you know, of course it's not easy, no matter how confident you are in your decision. But I was really grateful when she said, you know, yes, it's hard and I miss her, but I still believe I made the right decision. And that was important to me, because I can't imagine having that first visit and mom saying, I feel like I made the wrong choice. Like, oh my gosh, what do you do then, right? It's already been done. So it was a great visit, and she was playing with Jack, which was so sweet, and Jack really likes her. And, you know, I'm not naive, as with Miranda, Jack's birth mom. You know, we are in this relationship for a lifetime, and any relationship that lasts a lifetime, a friendship, a romantic partnership, a work relationship, it's going to have its great moments, and it's going to have its shitty moments too, right? I'm not naive. I know we will have highs and lows and awkward phases and boundary setting moments and all of that. But we have just been so fortunate with Jack's open adoption, now 4 years into it, that it's been amazing. And I really think we'll have the same thing with Olivia's mom, because she's just such a cool, smart, creative, spiritual person. And we just really kind of vibe on the same things, which is really nice too. I mean, we were chatting about politics, we were chatting about feminism, like we just completely hit it off in a way that it's like, even if this never happened with Olivia, you are still somebody that I would want to know, because she's just such a cool person. So that is just amazing, totally amazing. So the other question I've been getting a lot is, will you be taking a maternity leave from work? And I am excited to say that I will. I'm very excited for that. First of all, because it is just really hard to work from home with two kids. We have a nanny for the summer, which is amazing. But even with having help for the summer, you know, it's just still a lot to manage. I'm up at night once the kids are in bed, continuing to do work. And even though Olivia is now sleeping through the night by some amazing miracle, I'm still only getting about 5 hours of sleep a night because I'm staying up doing work that I can't really get to during the day.
and, you know, doing all the chores around the house that I don't get to during the day. So I'm really excited to have a solid amount of time where I can kind of cross one thing off of my to-do list and to really bond with Olivia more and just spend more time with her and also Jack too, but to really have that bonding time with Olivia. And I think we've all been adjusting really well as a family. I mean, even Mikkel is super excited. She was as shocked as I was. She was like, wait, she's staying forever? But she loves to hold her and loves to make her laugh. And we've already talked about that Mikkel is going to teach Olivia how to drive. and so it's just been the coolest thing. This past weekend, we had an open house for Mikkel's high school graduation, and we had about 50 people here outside, of course, for the open house. And it was a lot of her family, and it was really great to meet them, meet that extended family. And I just had this overwhelming sense of pride when I was looking around and there are all these guests there and Jack is playing with the other kids that are there, and everybody's like eating this great food that we had catered in our beautiful backyard, and I'm holding Olivia in the baby carrier, and I was just like, I made all of this happen. Like, I know that sounds really self-centered and a little narcissistic maybe, but I was just this moment of immense pride. Like, you know, I have three kids by myself. I have one going to college, one going into pre-K, and a newborn. And I work a really demanding career full time. And I, you know, help care for my mom. And I still manage to have like kind of a social life. I mean, it's a pretty minimal social life, but I have friends, right? And I'm doing all this by myself financially, and I'm doing all of this, you know, just logistically making it all happen. And I just had this moment where I was like, I kind of rock. Like, I'm sort of amazing. And, you know, there are areas I need to improve upon, like, you know, the 40 pounds I've gained since I started fostering. I'm not saying, you know, I am by any means a perfect mother or a perfect human, but it was just this moment of like, wow. Like, I am so proud of myself. And that was just a really cool moment to have all of my kids together and just be able to sort of soak in that pride. And it's been just really awesome. I mean, it's been hard. It's been, I think the hardest challenge has been just finding enough time to make sure Jack still feels like he's got the attention that he wants and needs and deserves. But also, when you have a 3-month-old, they demand things at certain times and you can't ask them to wait or be patient. So I think there's been a little less me time than usual, even considering the fact that we have a newborn, because what might typically be some downtime for me, even if it was just like 5 or 10 minutes on a weekend where, you know, before Olivia, I might, you know, look through social media for 10 minutes while Jack was playing or something like that. Now I'm not even taking that time for myself, because instead I want to make sure that Jack has that attention. So I'll play with him one-on-one, or we'll do a special activity so that he doesn't feel like he's, you know, being neglected or he's not the bright, shiny object anymore. And that's been the exhausting part of it, is making sure that everybody, not only are their needs met, but that their cups are filled, in this case, literally and figuratively. But even that, it has been so much smoother than I would have expected. I mean, you know, I'm sleeping at night because thankfully Olivia is sleeping at night and we've got great help, and I feel like I'm doing pretty good. So I'm just really grateful for that. Just super, super grateful. And then the other question that I get a lot now is, okay, so are you going to keep fostering? You've got a pretty full house. And we do have a full house, literally. When I got this house, it has 4 bedrooms plus like a bonus room that could be a bedroom. And I thought, well, we will have so much room in this house to continue fostering. And now it is all filled up between Olivia and Jack and Mikkel and my home office and then my room. We are now full. And while I will keep my foster license active, because it's just easier to renew it every year than it is to get completely recertified, and if I let it expire, we will not be fostering for a few years. I think not only because of my just emotional, logistical, financial capacity to take on another child right now, but that really wouldn't be fair to Olivia and Jack or even Mikkel. Like, we have had a lot of changes in a year. In a year, we've added Mikkel and we've also added Olivia. And we need to settle in more as a family and really get into our routines and our rhythm. And that's what I need to do. And sometimes that's hard for me to accept when I have to say no to helping again, because I keep thinking like, I just need to say yes. I just need to say yes. But I have framed it as I am saying yes. I am saying yes to Jack and Mikkel and to Olivia. And in order to care for them and in order to help them, right now I have to say, I got to pause for a few years. But I know that we'll foster again, you know, maybe when Olivia is 3 years old and potty trained and a little bit more independent, you know, and Mikkel is firmly off on her own post-college or, you know, junior or senior year of college, then I'm sure we will foster again. And I will continue, of course, to be a foster care and adoption advocate because that is my passion. But we will stop on any placements for a few years while we let everybody grow up a little bit and settle into this brave new world. And then as far as people saying, well, will you adopt again? Who knows? I can't even think about that right now. I mean, part of me thinks every time I have made my mind up about something in terms of our family, I am proven wrong. Like 6 months later, I said, no, I'm never adopting. And then I adopted Jack. And then I said, okay, but I'm never having teens. And then I had Mikkel. And then I was like, okay, but I definitely can't have another kid on my own. And then we had Olivia. So, you know, do I think we will adopt again? Probably not. I'm, you know, I'm 38. So, you know, I'm already getting up there. As Mikkel pointed out, I will be nearly 60 years old when Olivia graduates from high school. So I'm not sure I want to adopt again and start all over again when I'm in my 40s. But also, you never know what life throws at you, right? So, you know, right now my answer is nope, we are good. But I know that the universe and God have plans written out for me already, and I don't know what those are. And I think I'm actually really glad I don't know what those are, because I would probably freak out. So yeah, that's kind of where we are right now. So very excited about it all, still settling into it all. But just so grateful, and I'm really proud that we did this as ethically as possible, making sure that mom had all of the resources she needed for counseling and representation and understanding all kinds of both conventional and unconventional options and a post-adoption agreement and doing everything the right way. I know what I was going to talk about. The other thing is people said, well, how did you react when mom asked you to adopt? Was it an immediate yes? Did you have to think about it? Were you scared? Again, because I sort of had this gut feeling all along, I'd sort of had the weekend to think about it. Like, oh man, I have this weird feeling. If this would go crazy and mom would ask us, would we do it? And I had already felt from that first Friday that I met Olivia that there was this connection I had with her that felt really unique. But when mom actually asked us, when the rubber met the road, and mom was like, okay, this is real. Do you want to do this? I did have a few hours of total panic, where I was like shaking, I was hyperventilating, my heart was skipping beats. I called our neighbor, who's a good friend of mine now, and she came over and we just talked this through, because adopting privately is much different than adopting through foster care. First of all, there's the cost of adopting privately. Even though our private adoption is extremely cheap compared to other private adoptions, because I matched independently with mom, it's still a lot of money. So, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, the average private adoption is about $35,000. It is not at all uncommon for it to get in the $40,000 and $50,000 range. And it's not like you make payments on this. I mean, this is cash up front that you have to hand over before an adoption is official. And ours will not be nearly that much, but it's still pricey. We have attorney's fees and things like that. luckily we don't have like an adoption agency fee or you know, birth mother expenses because she had already had the baby. But it's still not cheap. And so my initial reaction is, oh my gosh, can I even afford that? Like in the next few weeks, can I shell out this kind of money? And then it was thinking through, can I do this on my own without support? Because as I've talked about in previous episodes, when you adopt through foster care, you get additional support for the child until they are 18 and in some instances until they are 21. So we get a monthly per diem it's modest. It is by no means covering most of Jack's expenses and, you know, it's modest, but it's still something. And his health insurance is provided by the state. I carry him on my health insurance as well as secondary insurance. But if for some reason I was unemployed or could no longer afford my health insurance premiums, Jack would always have health insurance until he was an adult. And it's good health insurance. There are no copays. You don't have to pay for anything. And with a private adoption, there aren't those things. So we wouldn't get that modest stipend to help us out. And I would need to always have to pay out of pocket for Olivia's insurance. And so it was thinking through, can I do this? Can I adopt without some of the assistance that I've been used to with Jack's adoption? And I should mention that the assistance that you get with a foster care adoption, most of it is universal. So it's not necessarily based on your income. So there was that. And then it was just, you know, can I do this mentally and emotionally and logistically? And is it also fair to Jack? Because Jack has had some behavioral problems and has needed a lot of attention. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to do anything that was harmful to him. Luckily, Jack does really well with children in the home. Like, he's always loved it when we've had children that we've hosted either through foster care or safe families. He just loves babies. So that's never been an issue. But just making sure that in the long run, I could give everybody the attention they needed, and also knowing and being comfortable with that means I will have even less time for myself than I already did, and even less resources, and making sure I was comfortable with that. And so there were these few hours of panic as I'm thinking through all of this of like, oh my God, can I do this? Can I do this? Oh my God, I don't know. But once that initial panic passed, I realized, like, yes, of course I can do this. We are stable and, you know, yeah, the next couple of years are going to be tough and I'm not going to have a lot of me time, but, babies don't keep and toddlers don't keep. And in a blink of an eye, they will be, you know, both school aged and it will get easier. And then I'll have new struggles as they both become teenagers. But it was pretty quickly an obvious yes from us. Or I should say it was always an obvious yes for me. It was just like making sure logistically I could do it. And once I was able to talk myself down and think of the reality of the situation rather than thinking of all of the worst case scenarios, then I was very comfortable with the yes. And, you know, I know that we'll probably have hard times. We will have hard times, as every family does. But I also know that I've had hard times before with Jack, and I've always made it work. And I'll always make it work with our new family now. We always find a way. So that is the story of Olivia Suzanne Friedland, our very unexpected end of my birthday week surprise. So it's just crazy. It is just crazy that I haven't even known Olivia for a month and I have a forever daughter. It's just like, imagine finding out you were pregnant and going into labor within the span of 2 days. That is what happened. So crazy. So anyway, next episode, I'll provide more of an update on Mikkel, but the quick update is that she is now done with her senior year. She is doing her clinicals right now to get her CNA license. She took all of her CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant, courses while she was in high school, and so now she's just doing her clinicals, which she has so far really loved and seems to be really great at. And then she will be a freshman this fall studying nursing and living in the dorms and coming here for breaks and sort of making this her home when she's not in the dorms. So it's going to be so cool to see her enter the young adult world and find her passion in college and sort of find her niche and her groove. And it's just a really exciting time for her. And I am really excited that I get to have a front row seat for it because she's awesome. So, as always, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you can message me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way, at efriedland. You can also email me, elizabeth.friedland@gmail.com. And we'll chat next time.